You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
The brain is hardware. Our personalities are all the software. As we've just heard, the brain's hardware reacts to very specific elements of sad music. Software, right? Mental illness has the same quality. The brain hardware dysfunctions that produce paranoia, neurosis, delusions, and extreme anxiety find their software roots in culture and the world around us. In the 1800s, Parisian mental hospitals were filled with patients claiming to be Napoleon. American mental patients worried that Soviet spies were reading their thoughts during the 50s from space. And you might say this is the sound of your brain on TV.
It was incredibly terrifying, like all-consuming, where I thought everyone was picking me apart and everyone was watching every single facet of my life on television. So it was like having no privacy. I would be anxious, and the anxiety would cause me to have more delusions, and then the delusions would give me more anxiety, and it was sort of a vicious cycle.
That's Nick Lotz, a man profiled in the New Yorker magazine, a man who believed that everywhere he went, he was on camera being filmed for a reality TV show. Nick was actually diagnosed with Truman Show Syndrome. The movie The Truman Show becomes the plot line for an actual brain dysfunction.
The whole thing was that I was being recorded, and I didn't know who was recording me. I couldn't listen to the recordings, and it was all like a secret kind of cult of recorders who were going around recording me and putting me on television somewhere where I couldn't watch it.
New Yorker writer and editor Andrew Morantz wrote the profile of Nick for The New Yorker, and when we spoke to him, he marveled at how in recovery, Nick Lotz has no problem being on this radio reality show.
He is glad to be on your program because he knows it's your program and he knows who you are. But as soon as it becomes a shadowy cabal of people recording you against your will, it's a different thing. Now, entertainment used to be one thing. It used to be you come onto a sound stage and there's a live audience and it's broadcast live on television. Then it shifted again and again to where we have Big Brother that's being aired 24 hours a day on the internet. So there's always been mental illness and it's always found a form that fits the day, but it is also possible that the proliferation of technology is making more people ill than otherwise would be.
But it's certainly the case that technology enables you to acquire another personality, to plausibly inhabit that personality.
Right.
It enables you to make an argument to yourself that there's a satellite overhead watching you.
Mm-hmm.
There is.
Right.
And the drones are around. And, you know, thank you, Edward Snowden, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that comes up when I was reporting the piece is that the line between bizarre delusions and non-bizarre delusions is no longer very respected within psychiatry. So there used to be an idea that there are some delusions that are possible or plausible and some that are not, right? And those lines are blurring now that, you know, people who think their phones are being tapped are probably right.
And it is also the case that the rational truth of a delusion makes it harder to diagnose, harder to even describe these various mental illnesses.
Right. And the borders between screen and real life become more porous every day. I mean, what you said publicly on Facebook or what you thought privately or what you typed in your phone versus what you wrote in your diary – all these things get blurrier and blurrier.
Which came first, Truman or the show? So in a sense, the makers of the movie The Truman Show are doing psychiatrists a favor by creating a coherent box to put various kinds of symptoms in.
Sure. And there were you know, Twilight Zone episodes about the fear of nuclear winter that were responding to politics and that were also forming the politics of the future. You know, we've always had that kind of relationship with our fictional media.
Nick represents that category of individual whose delusion is plausible but possibly not rational.
Sure, but his delusion wouldn't have been plausible 15 years ago, so those lines shift all the time. Part of what made Nick's illness ironically worse, more potent, was the fact that he was so aware and alert to what was going on politically and also alert to how entertainment works. And when we drove around together in Ohio, we saw things like little security cameras on traffic lights and we would kind of both laugh about it because we were both noticing it, you know, from slightly different perspectives, but also from, you know, from our different contexts, we kind of ended up understanding it the same way.
Radically different contexts.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, at the risk, Andrew, of sounding like, you know, someone in your dorm room late at night, you know, so like technology affects the mind and the mind affects technology. I mean, that's really the story here. It's a pretty profound kind of 180.
It's deep, man. right. It's true. I mean, there is a permeable boundary between all these things. And not only is it a chicken and egg thing, but it's also a kind of new wine in old bottles thing. I mean, there have always been mentally ill people since the dawn of civilization. The question is, what form does it take?
Andrew Marantz is the writer of Unreality Star, a profile in The New Yorker of Nick Lotz, who suffered from the Truman Show delusion. Andrew, thanks so much.
Thank you.